with podcast. You get to keep up with the culture. With this Up There podcast, you get more.
When you introduce someone into that side of things, right? As a man, that means me and my woman has had a conversation in which I've had to lay out the harsh reality. You understand me? I've had to lay out the harsh reality, but I've also had to explain to her that the feeling that we get when we is having intercourse doesn't supersede the feeling I get waking up next to you. You know, so it takes a certain kind of nigga to explain that, but it also takes a certain kind of woman to accept that. I say that it takes a certain kind of nigga to explain that, but it also takes a certain kind of woman to accept that, to accept the fact that I love this dude. Welcome to another episode of his Up There podcast with your boy Luna Luciano. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast on the market right now. If you are just now getting tuned in to what it is we do on this side of the street, I'm going to need you to stop right now. Go over to FOGFOTV on YouTube, hit subscribe. Anywhere you find podcasts, hit subscribe, share. Everything I got going on is very, very important that you do so as we're on our way up, working our way through the very tall grass and the red tape that this industry has in regards to just, you know, trying to pivot into the marketplace. But it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But I do want to say thank you for watching. Welcome. Again, let me reiterate, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, I need you to head over to FOGFOTV if you want to see the video version. And if you're looking at the video version and you maybe got to work or go work out or something, you can't view the video, you can find my podcast, excuse me, anywhere you get podcasts, just type in It's Up There Podcast with Looney, and I'll pop up. Lot to talk about, lot to get to, a lot that I want to kind of touch on in regards to the game, the culture, the lifestyle. Let's see where we want to start. You know, I always start the podcast just kind of giving y'all insight and giving you a little game about the industry of podcasting, the atmosphere, the landscape, the marketplace as a whole. And I think my message is getting out, my word is getting out that I'm asking that they pour into, you know, that they melt it down and pour it all on this game. You know, Let us know how to get in. Let us know how to pivot. Let us know how to do what you guys couldn't do without the help of those big companies that you're, you know, in bed with. Couple things that struck me over the last couple of weeks, man, that I've paid close attention to. One of those being just the way that we as a culture will get on Clubhouse and talk for free, but it's so hard for any young podcaster to get an interview or, you know, kind of share the stage with some of those people. They get on Clubhouse and they do this just for nothing, you know. Sometimes I wonder and I think, I say, man, is it a situation where they really are trying to muzzle each other? Like, in the black community, are they trying to put us, not they, are we putting ourselves in a position where we don't understand that the more of us that deserve a shot should get a shot, you know? But it gets slippery with that because you say, well, who says who deserves it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I see, and I'm going to just start here, you know, I see Joe Budden just acquired another girl podcast. A girl, I guess. I love the podcast. I like this one better than the other one. But what I'm learning about social media, as I did a case study, really started on Instagram, just kind of paying attention. Like, you know, as I tell y'all, academics, you know, say cheese, some of these people have built their platforms for certain things, right? The unique thing about this space is, let's say I build my platform off basketball. Although we want to apply the rules of like a real network, like a TV network to it, if I built my platform off basketball and then 6 months later I kind of sprinkle football in there or soccer in there, the people not there for that. The people not there for that. So what I think needs to happen for someone like Joe Budden that's trying to acquire these women podcasts, which it says something to me, I'm not sure what yet, but it says something to me that you don't have another guy podcast, whether that's even just a Park solo about music or a Rory and Maul chopping it up 30 minutes a week, like I told y'all 6 months ago, right? But when these people come to your show and they are there for the Joe Budden podcast, I'm not sure that these other podcasts are getting a real shot at even capitalizing off of the 900,000 subscribers or even getting the engagement. You know, it seems like when they see that Joe's not there, that they're not really engaging with it. And I know you can't, your case study can't just be for YouTube, but the bigger picture of that is, I'm paying attention to all of that. You know, I'm paying attention to all that. So I'm saying, damn, man. Joe Budden will drop his podcast and within 12 minutes, he'll have 5,000-6,000 hits. The girls will drop their podcast and 5 hours later, it might be 4,000, 2,000 hits, shit like that. So what I'm saying is, maybe you need to start a spinoff page. Maybe that needs to be the Joe Budden podcast page, and then you need to have a Joe Budden network page and do your best at, you know, funneling some content over there to try to build that page up where people are there for all different things, not just for the Joe Budden podcast. I think he's feeling the effects of not being able to capitalize off of what it is that he's trying to accomplish. You know, great idea. But his star power is needed, you know, to even captivate that audience on the YouTube side. Now, I'm not sure what he's doing on audio because we know Horrible Decisions does well, you know, audio, but not so much on video. Really unique situation that Mandy is signed to all of these different places. I would love to have a conversation with her just about, man, I mean, how is it? How do you feel in between the Joe Buttons and the Charlemagne's and the Black Effects and the Joe Budden networks? Because we're seeing Joe Budden trying to do something that, of course, we hope and wish that it works for him. But analyzing it and looking at it from a standpoint of being in this business is like, hey, man, I'm not sure this is panning out the way that, you may be expecting it to pan out, which is, you know, which is a thing that I think deserves a second look. You know, and you know, we all hope that it works not only for his sake, for my sake, for everybody's sake that's in the game doing this, what we doing, this podcasting and getting in front of a camera and having conversations with others and doing those type of things. I just think it's a beautiful thing to see. Let's see, man. Also, we got in the news this week, of course, if you haven't been under a rock, you've seen where T.I. and Tiny ended up in a lot of the cycle of the Instagram cycle. Well, that name was brought up about some sex trafficking and doing Molly and drugs and all these different things. You know, when the story first came out, for those of you that know who I am and really follow me, you know my affiliation with the Grand Hustle Camp and Young Dro and all that back in the day. Funny to see Young Dro so silent, you know, as all these things are transpiring. Just kind of staying out the way of it. I think it's a good thing for him to do. But if anybody would know something, I think it'll be him. Also, as this story was coming out, you know, I went through a several different thought patterns. You know, I went through several different ways I looked at it and ways I examined it and said, damn, man. And I want to advance the conversation and not just get stuck on T.I. and Tiny. But I say, man, if you've been together for a while, see, that's where it starts with me. And before I, you know, get in all that, I do want to say, man, my heart goes out to any woman that's been victimized by sex trafficking and raped or whatever the case may be. So in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I need anyone to take what I'm saying as any slight or as any anything, you know, that could be detrimental to the outlook of the victims in any sort of way. My job as a podcast and as a media journalist is to take the information that's presented to the public and analyze it for those that follow me and come to me for information. So by no means am I undermining anything that anyone has encountered on their journey. And I believe rape is a terrible thing. So I want to say that first. But when you've been together, some of you guys are with your fiancés and girlfriends, and you've been with her for 1 year, and she can't spice it up for you. You know, she's not doing things to keep you interested or keep you locked in. You know, so many relationships we see go for a certain amount of time, and then they fall off. Number one, I think people are not growing with each other, which is a very, very, very important attribute when dealing with the opposite sex and trying to stay together for a while. What else I think is important attribute is understanding the best thing to have. One of my biggest traits, one of my biggest attributes, one of the things that I tend to lead with is my ability to create an understanding. If I'm in a relationship with somebody and I'm sexually unhappy, they're going to know that. Therefore, I wouldn't consider that cheating if we have made a decision to stay with each other, although that's the circumstances that we're placed with. I would be upfront about my eagerness to quench whatever thirst that is that I have in regards to my sexual life and the activities that I would like to pursue, right? So when I look at someone that like T.I. and Tiny and they've been together for so long, and again, advancing the conversation, not so much on them, but just on the situation in whole. You don't be together that long. And how can I put this? You either gotta do this real slow, right? To where you can, you know, every 2 or 3 years break out a new move on a nigga ass. But most times when we like each other, we do shit and we burn out. You know, we give you all we got and we burn out. You know, I've hit you with every stroke I got and I'm burnt out. I don't got no more, you know, tricks up my sleeve, so to say. So, you know, now that stroke that once had you in a position to, you know, feeling good and putting you down, now that's normal. Now that become normal. When things become normal, they become easy to overlook. You know, some people are in relationships where they're doing things and they've helped people and they've done things that nobody else would do for a person. But they kept doing it and they kept doing it, helping them and being there for them and upgrading them and updating them and giving them game to the point that's all they know. So they don't really understand. See, one thing about us, we don't understand how to appreciate something that's readily available to us. That's why we cry so hard at deaths. That's why we, you know, pitch and moan at funerals, because we don't necessarily appreciate things when they're right in front of our face, when we can grab it and it's tangible and we can hold on to it and move forward with understanding that, hey, man, this is a blessing to be in this situation. You know, and that's part of staying grounded. And I pray God always keep it on me to try to stay in some sort of, you know, place where I can stay grounded and keep my foot on solid ground and understand, bruh, you ain't hustling no more and you doing good. You ain't asking nobody for nothing. And you steady doing this and God done blessed you to put you here. And you in rooms with these people and they're saying your projections is this once you get the right amount of that, you know. And that's one thing that we tend to not do. But back to the topic at hand, you know, but we tend not to we tend not to appreciate the same things that's become readily available to us. Men, women, that's just a human thing. That's a human trait. So when you together that long, right, and now you in a situation where she trying to do a thug thizzle, but bae ain't learned no new moves or nothing. You know, she done got comfortable. You know, she might not be in the same place mentally where she's even searching for any new ways, because she feel like, well, look what I got off what I'm doing. Why change that, right? But she don't understand on the other side, there's a dude saying, man, this shit ain't doing what it's supposed to be doing. Or on the other side, there's a woman saying, man, he's still doing that. That ain't getting me where I need to go. Now, in these type of situations where you see people introduce other people to their bedroom, those of you that know me and my history and background, I was doing those type of things when it wasn't cool to do. And when I say when it wasn't cool, not that you're doing anything wrong, but it wasn't something that was, you know, on your TVs and your movies and your rappers when talking like this. You understand? So anyway, when you introduce someone into that side of things, right, as a man, that means me and my woman has had a conversation in which I've had to lay out the harsh reality. You understand me? I've had to lay out the harsh reality, but I've also had to explain to her that the feeling that we get when we is having intercourse doesn't supersede the feeling I get waking up next to you. You know, so it takes a certain kind of nigga to explain that, but it also takes a certain kind of woman to accept that. I say that it takes a certain kind of nigga to explain that, but it also takes a certain kind of woman to accept that, to accept the fact that I love this dude. For whatever reason, I'm going to say we, but a lot of times it comes from the man's side. So for whatever reason, he want to introduce somebody else into the situation, and we're going to turn up and have fun. And that's, for him, I'm going to do that. You know, most women get caught in that place where what I got to lose is more important and has more gravity than what I got to gain. You know what I'm saying? So I hear sometimes women tell other women, girl, I wouldn't do that, and you need to get your freedom back, and ain't no way, no this or that, and this or that, and this and that, and I wouldn't let nobody, woo-de-wham. But you always got to remember, ain't nothing in this world more motherfucking better than having to understand where this person is speaking from. That's why I always tell women, men and women, you really can't get relationship advice, because advice has to come from one or two places. Either somebody explain, understand things in totality, which is hard to do without the details there. I'm explaining to you my relationship from my standpoint. You understand me? Now, I think that's 100%, but there's always things that I don't see that I do, because, again, I just spoke about things being normal, and it's easy to overlook things that's normal, right? So when I'm coming to you and I'm explaining to you what's going on in my relationship, number one, what if your level ain't even the level that I'm on? What if you got a nigga that ain't never, ever, ever done this, that, and the third for you, so you don't even know what it's like to have somebody do things for you that people in your family wouldn't do, that people that you believed in all your life wouldn't do? But I met some dude, some stranger, and then, you know, we get locked in. He just happened to be a real nigga. But these kind of things happen when I deal with him. Sometimes he'll do this. I can't expect you to understand, you know, the level of individual that God has blessed me with. And that can go for male or female. That's why, listen, people call me for advice. I don't call nobody for advice. Nobody I don't call for advice. Because I understand in this life, sometimes they ain't even made the words. The words ain't even been, they ain't even been found yet to explain some of the feelings that you have when you in these type of situations, you know, when you in these relationships. So, again, he's had to come to her and explain to her, look, man, you know I love you. You dig what I'm saying? I'm talking about I love you like a fat kid love cake. You dig what I'm saying? But what we got to do is make sure that I don't want to hurt you, right? So I don't want to cheat on you. Look, I just spoke about why a lot of dudes pay for pussy. They don't pay because he a trick. He a simp. He paying for pussy. A lot of niggas ain't paying for that. A lot of niggas is paying because they in a relationship and they don't want you to hurt their old lady. So I'm paying for the secret of it. I'm paying for the discreet behavior. You understand me? Not because you thinking I'm a trick or you thinking I'm a net. Most of these dudes is tricks now. I want to be clear with that. Because I ain't doing no caping and all that for nobody. But I'm telling you the harsh reality of situations. You understand me? So understand what type level a nigga got to be on to come and say, you know what, baby girl, man, look, I love you, man. But with that sex thing, man, I got to turn it up or not. You know, let's go get, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you pick them. I ain't going to even have nothing to do with picking them, just so you won't even be on no whatever. I'm going to let you orchestrate the whole thing, because I know how women get when they get, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, you handle all that. You understand me? And her on the other side to be like, do I want to lose dude or is it worth that? Do I consent, like not consent in a way where, because for me to come in, there has to be some level of consent, but I'm saying, am I losing myself doing this with him, or is this something I enjoy doing myself? Now, sometimes you get lucky. You were thinking the same thing. But there is situations where, because you don't want to lose the individual, your shit bend a little bit. You understand me? Your shit, goddamn it, you go to kind of modify, you know, modify, adjust. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know what can cause that, and maybe I'll get into that some other point. But just I need y'all to understand those kind of conversations had to happen for that's before we get to any type of accusations about, you know, sex or doing drugs or doing this when you come in and this or that. So there's also a thing where when dudes do this, see, you gotta understand. See, that's why I say a lot of people don't put it in perspective. You gotta understand that me as a celebrity with a wife that I've maybe had to let know that our sex life ain't doing enough for me, so I'm gonna have to examine other opportunities, not to lose you, but to include you as much as I can, right? So it won't be a situation where you feel like anything, because again, the sex don't supersede the relationship. It's like, yo, I fuck with you on another level. Then we rich. We got, what, 25 properties in each other name, 100 cars, 8 boats, 6 businesses, and 10 goddamn, you know what I mean, kids or whatever. And so, you know, we want to try to work around, you know, work around that little sex shit. You know what I mean? And so I can understand on some level, right? Being a man and being in, let's just say me and my old lady got an understanding that we having a threesome. Again, that conversation I imagine to be very, for undeveloped mind, right? To be very, you know, hurtful a little bit. Why will you need somebody else? Because some women take that approach. Now, you got a lot of others that I'm with that. It's just sex. But I'm telling you, some people will take the approach and understand that am I not doing enough? Am I not being enough? Right? So it puts you in a situation to face that. And then on top of that, as the act is going on, you got to make sure that you still catering to those little insecurities that may be present. You know what I'm saying? From a standpoint of, look, this is just this. You know what I'm saying? This don't affect us. This is just, tonight is just this, right? So when they say stuff like, they wouldn't let me in if I didn't take a line or take some Molly, I'm thinking to myself, all right, Loon, you back here with your girl. She got maybe a little insecurity about these situations that's happening. You even wanting to have a threesome. Now, what you can't do is make her feel like that these girls have access to you and y'all just chilling and relaxing and kicking back, right? So there's a atmosphere there that needs to be set. Do I think that it needs to be that one? I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say we just examining the situation, right? Or what could be a situation like that, right? So when you come in here, not because I'm mean or because I need for beloved to understand that this is just this. You know, it ain't too much, you know, especially if she see. And all I'm telling you is dealing with not the woman that's with it. A lot of people might be watching this that knows them kind of them kind. The one that's kind of doing it because it's what her man want to do. The one that's kind of doing it because she don't want to lose the man overall to this kind of shit. Because niggas will stay gone. Niggas will be gone half the year fucking with this kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? And come home and he don't want you to do nothing but get him some water and cut his orange up in little bitty pieces for him. You know what I'm saying? He done took that responsibility completely out of your hands. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes people fall victim to that. But speeding it up, I can see a situation where, hey man, you got to take this, or I've seen things like that allegedly be at the forefront of those kind of situations because of the atmosphere need to be, y'all ain't in here to kick it with my husband and just fuck with my husband and just lay up under him and talk and laugh and get to hear all the good game he put down and be infatuated with how he talking and all that. That ain't what we here for. We here to turn it up. If y'all don't want to turn it up, then y'all can go. But we here to turn it up. And because of how I feel about him and the situation, that I may not be doing it 100% because I want to, you can't just come in here and chill. So if you come past, you know, if they let you in here, you got to do this or that to even get back here, because we got to know it's real. You see what I'm saying? Some sort of understanding now to even know it's a thing. And I just think, man, the whole scenario in a whole is a hell of a thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, you having sex, you doing all of these things, you know, depending on that woman, it can be some jealousy there. Man, you hitting her, man, you better not kiss her, this and that. I've seen a lot of threesomes where people say he can't eat you. He can't eat your pool nanny. He can't do this, he can't do that. They try to set some sort of boundaries because they don't want to, hey, man. You ever seen a motherfucker go too far in the lake and they gone? I mean, the ocean. Damn, he done went too far, man. Nick can't save him. You know what I'm saying? Them kind of situations where, because they playing a dangerous game. Especially in our community where they feel like all that has him here is my sex. All I got to do is give him a little sex. When you ain't understanding that you got to cook for him, care for him, pray for him, encourage him, and vice versa. When you ain't understanding those things and you minimize this thing all the way down to sex, boy, having a threesome got to be the scariest motherfucking thing you ever thought about. Because all I can give him is this, or all I can give her is this. So what you mean to tell me I finna let somebody else give her that? And then, you know what I'm saying? So again, he too far in the ocean and he gone. So sometimes, you know, you just deal with that, man. You know what I'm saying? You deal with that. Now, with all of that being said, the woman that is on their case got a lengthy criminal history dealing with them and other people. You know, I think she was allegedly, let me read it because I don't want to be sued. Or nobody saying anything, you know, about what I'm saying, like it ain't the truth. You know, all of that kind of shit. And not to say whether or not that's true or not, I'm just saying it doesn't look good. You know, it doesn't look good that's the situation. And then this who I got to defend myself from. And see, that's another thing with this internet shit. And I'm, you know, bruh. Y'all got me defending myself like when I went through it. I'm thinking to myself, we done forgot what's going on. How you gonna, who you got me defending myself through? But see, that's a slippery slope, because if that is the way that we look at it, then you wouldn't have people like Edward Snowden and, you know, those kind of whistleblowers on the government, because they'll just make their image look bad. But we talking about more so people that know these people. And of course on Instagram and Shade Room, you're not going to know the people. Just allow them to, you know, if it sound about right, you know what I'm saying? And they talking about incurable diseases and all kind of old shit. So it's just, man, she got a real, real, real lengthy history with, you know, doing shit. You know what I'm saying? Doing shit like that and tipping them to be in that situation is a hell of a thing, man. And also, speaking on, you know, the relationship men and women have and how sometimes the man, I'm not sure that I see a lot of men celebrities that their wife is the manager. If there are some, y'all give me some. But it seems like every time a woman get rich, there goes some nigga can kind of, you know what I mean, put himself in the city. Now, I'm your manager. And she gonna go for it because he throwing, he laying dick in her. You see what I'm saying? So she gonna, he my manager. Because I saw, you know, in a recent thing what Wendy Williams was talking about, you know, her husband being a manager. I think almost, and I can't stop nobody game. It ain't my point. No, it ain't my position to stop nobody game or nothing. But I think just having your wife, I mean your husband, as your manager may not be a good idea. You know, for one, you had, if he's your husband and y'all really, you know, get on, you hold him into a regard of he gonna have your highest. He gonna want the best for you. He gonna hold you in the highest regard. He gonna want the best for you. And a lot of times, so when he say no to a deal, you really don't question that. And if you do, it can affect your personal life. You see what I'm saying? And then some dudes have a situation and they smart enough to be able to understand that you understand that this can affect not only this business shit, but us personally, and you don't really want to go down that path. You know, you want to stay clear of that. And so they kind of use that to their advantage. Again, if I had a daughter, I would advise not to let her husband or boyfriend be a manager. And if that affects the relationship, I think that speaks volumes in itself. You know, just like a lady with a business, if you meet the man and you already got a six-figure business, ain't no way in the world he supposed to come right in, be with you for a while, and take, you know, CFO of the company, unless he putting some game down. You know, and again, I got to watch how I speak, man, because it ain't my job to bash men, but it also ain't my job not to, you know, state the obvious. Because I don't have no arrested development in regards to understanding the game, you know. So it's rough for me, man, and you see, you can kind of see me battle with it when you hear me talk, you know what I'm saying? Because I can really go on down through there and tell you exactly what it is and why it's there. You know what I'm saying? But I try to, you know, only say a little bit for the sake of the niggas just putting that slant, that little shit down. I ain't really, you know, I don't really fuck with it like that. Another thing, as I was speaking, and I want to get into it a little deeper. You know, I want to go a little deeper about the Joe Budden Network TV or just Instagram, social media in general. Like I've seen guys make mistakes and let me back up and tell you what I'm talking about. So as I'm, you know, just studying the game and looking at the landscape of social media and YouTube and video and audio and just distributing content, right? I'm understanding that, and maybe this game will help some of y'all out there, you know, but I'm understanding that whatever you build your platform for, probably 85% of the time, if it's outside of what you built it for, it don't get a fair chance. Now, there's some times where you can pivot, and depending on how you introduce it to the audience, right, they can accept it a little more. That's where you got to know how to use your star power for someone like a Joe Budden, right? And I'll get to the clubhouse shit too. Let me jot that down. Let me jot that down right quick. But so let's just say I build my YouTube channel off building, you know, my YouTube channel off, you know, comedy, fart jokes and shit like that, you know, bullshit like that. Let's say I built a YouTube channel off very simple comedy and I've got it up to 4 million hits, right? And now there's a Joe Budden type character that's at the forefront of the brand. Now, when I go off and I go from, you know, serving these people these type of jokes on this side to now I want to introduce, man, we got a little cooking going on here now. The minute you upload that, you can tell the difference like that. It don't even take, it's like, boom, they not fucking with that. You see what I'm saying? Not fucking with it. You know, some of your lawyer fans, it's a slow burn. You know, but part of the reason why you uploading it on your channel like a Joe Budden does these girl podcasts is so he can capitalize off the audience that he's already built. And that's why he went from calling it the Joe Budden channel or Joe Budden TV, which was, he was kind of ahead of the curve, but now it's the Joe Budden Network and kind of giving you channels, you know, to look at and fuck with, you know. I think, again, as I watch it, man, only these blog dudes are able to serve a bunch of shit because the people are there for that. People don't follow academics because of academics. They follow it because they know they're going to see something about Trey Songz, and they're going to read a little bit about when Kodak Black get pardoned. And motherfuckers over at Say Cheese because they're going to see what's going on in Florida. Plus, they're going to see what's going on in Houston. Now, Say Cheese has done a good job by being able to monetize it and get rappers to say, hey, you can get a look over here for this amount. But we ain't going to flood our channel. We're going to post 2 or 3 or 4 of these in the morning, 2 in the evening, 2 at night, maybe 5 a day. But we averaging 14 posts a day. So it's about 30% of our posts here that we dedicate to that. But it, on the other side for the business, it might be 50% of their income. You see what I'm saying? So that's what people are there for. They ain't... Now, people don't engage with that those songs the same as they do if he would post the Uzi Vert over at Say Cheese and things like that. Now, academics is starting to do it now, but Ak went a long time where you ain't getting no look on his platform unless you one of the big boys. Now he's monetizing his. I'm not sure how much of his income that is because he no longer works at Complex. But what I'm saying is those kind of pages are cool, but if you notice academics on his page where he can get 1 million hits for talking about Drake on YouTube, he uploads some music, it does nothing. They not there for that. You see what I'm saying? So it's a unique thing you gotta do, how you gotta pivot and introduce this content to the new to the already established audience that you have on your platform. It ain't just uploading and they, man, they fuck with me so tough they gonna fuck with that. No sir, there gotta be more done, you know. And so that's, again, when you see somebody say this or that, you gotta market this thing. So you see people that sign the Joe Budden and sign the Charlamagne and sign the whatever these platforms is, had the same struggles that we have down here independent. Yeah, they uploading you there, but man, if you're not talking like I'm talking, to where they can instantly say, man, I listen to dude sound all right. Like, if it ain't just grabbing them, and if you a fan of somebody, like let's say you're a fan of Loon, for me to spin off and give you somebody the total opposite of me, like something like a woman on my network, I'm going to have to make sure she has a certain kind of personality that shines through the camera, because y'all probably going to be over here listening for somebody with this same type of, you know, smoothness and twang, and she may be a totally different thing and she may not be appealing to y'all. So some kind of way I got to understand, okay, they here for me, and not to be arrogant, but that there anything I jump on here going to do good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if you upload just Rory by itself, it'll do good. I'm not sure. Or Maul or whoever. I'm not sure. But I'm just analyzing the game. This ain't personal to any one of them dudes. But I'm just saying, sometimes you got to understand how to introduce these things to the audience. You know what I'm saying? Instead of doing these... Now, nothing's wrong with doing a promo video. But let me pull you over on the Joe Budden podcast, call you a few times. Hey, you wrecked the show or something. You gotta introduce it to the audience in a way, man, that's more appealing than just sound found the new podcast. Boom. You know, you guys gotta put a little more into it. And that's just game from me to you guys. And when I went, because I was just looking at Joe Budden shit and saying, man, let me examine the game. I went and looked at Charlamagne channel. Shout out Charlamagne, Joe Budden. Shout out Joe Budden, friends of the show. Shout out Wallo. Shout out Academics, friends of the show. All these people, but I'm critical of the information. So sometimes I gotta address some of these things. I even watched Queens Flip and my boy Charleston White. Shout out Charleston White. But when I went and I looked at Joe's shit and I said, well, yeah, I see what he doing here. You know, I see where he trying to take the game. You understand me? I see what he doing with the basketball. You know, when I looked, I said, man, I ended up running across one of the interviews, one of the pull-up interviews, because I haven't watched many of those. Again, I'm in and out with it. So I watched the one with Lil Baby. And I must say, Joe Budden cannot, will not, and has not appeared to be in tune with the South at all. Man, it had to be one of the funniest motherfucking interviews, man. Baby will be talking to him, and he'll get some of the shit, but Baby be talking and going right over his head. And I'm like, he don't get what he's saying right there. And I can tell, you know how you can tell a motherfucker, man, these motherfuckers trying to, you know, my homeboy got be dealing with it sometime, man, on his page. I be coming under there talking. He might post something, or we might say something like, man, these folks are hanging. You get caught with 7 guns, you know, and then the motherfucker come up under the post. You know, God always said that we were going to be all going against, you know, just something that's kind of left field. You know what I'm saying? You on the nigga post talking about, you know, you ain't po' be eating no pork, homeboy. That shit right there for, man, I'm on this post talking about basketball. You understand? So I can understand by what you, how you answer that you don't understand what I just said. Nothing about what I just said you couldn't understand. You know what I'm saying? Now, and then Joe Budden looking at him, trying to really beam in on him and really pay attention, but he can't. I think that's one of his weaknesses. The South. Well-versed up that way. Okay with the West Coast, but the South, when we go to talking and everything, because Lil Baby's talking to him, and he responding, oh, I get what you said. Lil Baby was telling him, man, I wasn't doing no show for 2,000, man. I got 50 niggas with me, and my outfit cost 2,500. I'm thinking, man, it's the same way, because, man, for me to come out and do a show, I got to put that shit on. So how I'm going to put it on and come get $500 for a show? I'm not broke, so I can't do that. Now, I'm not knocking the hustle. You understand me? But all them $500 shows and $1,000 shows and $2,000 shows. Now, if you got me a weekend set up Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I can come get a 7, 8, 9, 10 grand, I'll come do that. But the one show for the $1,500... Yeah, I ain't got that type of time. You know, the shit I'm wearing to get me there, the couple niggas I got with me, the stash spot, we got to drive these cars, because, man, you know what I'm saying? It's just saying, I got to sleep in the car for 2 nights, because y'all wait over here, and I got to drive, or I got to let them drive, and I'll fly. You know, it's just costing me too much to move around how I got to move around. You know what I'm saying? And then Joe Budden holler, man, I know exactly what you're talking about, man. I did $2,000 shows for 10 years. It's like, Baby just kept going. Because he's like, he ain't getting what I'm saying. You know, and we fuck with Joe Budden, but I can tell he don't fuck with the game. He don't even know Conway and them names apart. Like, he, you know, to be a media guy, you got to be a little bit more. He know they voice probably from the music. But he's sitting in front of one of them and got it wrong. So you got to understand, you know, you got to understand that he really don't know. Now, Clubhouse, Joe Budden and Clubhouse, I told y'all last episode, Joe spends a lot of time on Clubhouse talking about nothing. But I can't tell Joe Budden, hey, man, come do an interview with me. I even pay you. He won't do it. But he get on Clubhouse and talk about bullshit. Sometimes you know, some people might have thought, man, well, he too busy to grab the phone and talk to me, man. Or, you know, I just got to wait till I can catch him and slow him down. If a nigga on this app all day, but you can't do an interview with somebody up and coming to give them a push, I just think I need to question what we doing with our resources. You know what I'm saying? I made the correlation last week, man. You don't see the white boys doing that. You ain't gonna see Jay-Z on there. You ain't gonna see Diddy on there. You ain't gonna see certain people on. Charlamagne ain't getting on there. I'm not sure. Like, niggas not getting on there that this is their cachet, man. They not, even the white boys, I see Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, they gonna watch the Super Bowl with you. They probably done paid Warren Sapp to be there, but they got 5,000 people that's gonna watch it and pay $15, $20, $25. It ain't really costing them nothing. They just got to stream, put the TV up, talk shit, get some food. This is game, man. We got to do better with our resources. Capitalizing off this shit to be able to pass something down. All this equity talk. All this big ownership talk. And we ain't pooling our resources on no type level. Why we ain't... If you now see, everybody on that app, this big shot. That you won't give a blog in your area or a podcast in your area interview or 20-minute FaceTime or any type of game, but you can sit on Clubhouse all day. Now they at a billion and niggas is saying this and that. And I seen academics say that Joe Budden was mad about them being worth a billion. I didn't take it that he was mad. I took what he said as contradicting, though. I took what he said as, you know, as far as them being worth a billion. Well, I told people that, how do we invest and why? And people told me, you know, why do you got to talk about owning something all the time? Now, again, it speaks to what I'm saying. You know, that little time you spending on there, man, you can really be building other men up, other women. Spend that on them podcasts you got. Call in over there. Now, I'm not saying I don't know what you're doing over there. I'm just saying that I just think that we got to get a little more structure. I see it all the time. Just like the NBA got free agents. Just like the NBA got scouts to go out to college. And they in every crevice of every basketball organization there is to make sure they ain't missing no talent. And they sometimes they still miss some. But if you look good on paper, they coming to see you. You see what I'm saying? And some people don't even look good on paper yet. They say, man, well, he just tall as a motherfucker. Send somebody down now. You see what I'm saying? And so it's just game. Understanding game, man. Understanding game. And I had a question on my thing, on my Facebook, Instagram, follow me, FOGFO_Looney. About, I seen something happen up in Harlem, man, where a dude tried to talk to a woman and she didn't talk back and he damn near went to biting her eyes out. Now, he attacked her because she didn't want to talk with him. And I immediately thought about my mom and my loved ones and my old lady and just shit like I immediately thought about them because I said, man, just think. First of all, my response to that going to be vicious and it don't exclude nobody. You know what I'm saying? But just the idea that as a woman, you can't even turn a guy down without facing some kind of harsh behavior, some kind of childish response, some kind of emotional outburst. You know, the idea that you can't put yourself in a position to say no thank you, or no I don't want to talk to you. Like when I put it on my post, girls were saying, man, I give them niggas my Instagram just cause, just to give them something. Just DM me. I don't be giving out my number. Just giving them something to go off of so that they don't feel like they're going to get attacked. In what world is it not a safe place to get what you want? Or deny what you don't need? In what world is it okay where niggas is thinking that it's cool to apply any kind of pressure because a woman do something other than what he would want her to do? Like, if I don't want your number, homie, what is that about? I got to get beat up? I got to get talk funky too because I don't want your number. Because I'm in a loving relationship. I got to get talk funky too. Or I got to get beat up or followed. Is that what we coming to? I got to send minds out saying, just play alone. Call me and just play alone. I'm going to escort you out of wherever you at. This what we at with it? In the middle of some black community, did what we doing to our own? So, and then sometimes it don't even got to be about I'm in a relationship. I just like, you light skin. I just like dark skin guys. Or you dark skin. I just like light skin guys. No, I'm sorry. Why we got to harm them about that? Why it got to be violence about some shit like that? Somebody got to help me understand in what world is it not cool to deny what you don't need? And how the fuck this happened now? Now, the response to that, you know, I seen a whole bunch of, and I didn't understand it. I didn't look into it, so I need to. But I seen maybe 500,000 people outside the store after that, like, we won't stand for it. Which is, I'm with that. The store, what y'all was doing? Y'all didn't intervene, call no police or nothing? I don't know. I didn't look into it. I'm just more so shocked and appalled and taken back because you can't even say no to a guy nowadays. Can't even say, no, I'm fine. Without a nigga ready to kick your motherfucking ass and beat you and say, you got me fucked up. I got to have you. That's some internal shit. That's something going on internal. That ain't nothing that you just do, man. Something is fucked up with that. You know what I'm saying? Something is really messed up with that, man. So, I just hope, you know, prayers to the beloved man. And we got to do something about shit like that. Like, we, come on, man. What y'all got going? Y'all nigga ass tripping. We ain't going down. We ain't going out like that now. Now, we doing a lot of shit, man. But that ain't one of them. We gonna let our black women be able to say no. You understand me? If she don't want me, man, it's a million pretty black women, man. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, we losing black men to the prison system and to the grave. But as far as black women, man, it's a bunch of black women, man. Pretty black women, man. So we ain't gonna force nobody to do nothing, man. You know what I'm saying? And I reject that on all 10 toes, man. And pray that minds don't ever see it. You know, because if they call me with those type of implications, you know, I'm gonna approach those with honor. You know, I'm gonna approach those with honor. For real. And also, speaking on women and relationships, a lot been going on with this type of shit. So this is a podcast, a long time. I mean, you know, we got a lot to speak about in regards to those things, or just capitalizing off sex and things like that. They have an OnlyFans guy that appeared to be giving fellatio to a transsexual. Not sure if that's the way you said. Somebody educate me. But appeared to be doing that on Twitter or on OnlyFans or whatever. For what others would consider was for the money. Now for me, I'm not into that. No kind of way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, I think that whatever your preference is your preference and it's your business. But this nigga, this particular dude, man, done, he done had a lot of the bad bitches that y'all niggas seeing on that OnlyFans. He done fucked a lot of the bad bitches that y'all seeing on them OnlyFans. And I think part of the shock was like, man, we done seen him with all these different beautiful women. What the fuck was that about? You know, and then someone allegedly leaked a text where he said, man, the money got me going crazy. I done made two million off of it. I think that he's, you know, I thought he already had some paper, so I didn't understand what he mean. I made 2 million. If I'm already having paper, you know, I ain't, the money shouldn't put me in a position to do things that's, that I'ma later on blame on the money. You see what I'm saying? If I'm already having money, how I'ma blame this on the money? You know what I'm saying? And then they were saying that, you know, they were asking him, he was saying he wasn't gay. And my thing is, well, help me understand what gay is then. Because that's what you were doing was something that can only be done to men and transsexuals that haven't had the surgery. So what you're doing can only be done to a man. So how is you not gay is what confuses the fuck out of me. You know, either I don't understand something or something's missing now. You know what I'm saying? But to advance that conversation, man, it seemed like money will make people do things that's like, to where you be like, man, did you just see what the nigga just did for the money? The boy sold out for the money. And y'all the same niggas that tell me y'all won't sell y'all soul? And y'all won't tell on nobody? I feel like if you'll do anything for money, you'll do anything to get out of trouble. You gotta have some kind of boundaries about things. You see what I'm saying? If you ain't got no boundaries about none, you dangerous not only to me, but to you. Because if you don't auto-correct, then somebody else gonna have to correct you. You see what I'm saying? And when you ain't got no boundaries, it's hard to auto-correct. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, and it, you know, just crazy to see the time that we in, man. And I think a lot of people had a problem that you were appearing or you were presenting yourself as a straight guy and then do some shit like that. So you got to ask all them girls that did come and sleep with you, were they okay if they knew that you would do that too? That you would be with a transsexual and give fellatio? Okay, y'all knowing all that, y'all still coming over to shoot the films or what we doing, you know? But my whole thing always is give me an opportunity to say no. You know, I come from a place where resources have always been limited, you know? And so I need an opportunity to say no. I don't give a damn what it's about. You know, give me the chance to say no. Don't make no decision for me and say yeah for me. Don't throw nothing away, my old shirt, nothing. Don't do nothing without coming to me and ask me and give me a chance to say no about something that's mine or something that I got to deal with the consequences about or the repercussions for. You understand me? Give me an opportunity to say no about that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's where the problem lied from what I gathered off the internet is that so many people were saying, well, nobody care about your sexual preference, homie. Some of these girls are just saying, had I knew that, I wouldn't have went and done no show with you. Or I wouldn't have went and created no content with you. You see what I'm saying? Because that disgusts me. Some girls are saying that from what I've seen. You see what I'm saying? So You gotta ask yourself, you know, when does it become a problem when you take away someone's ability to say no about something that affects them? I'm like that now. You see what I'm saying? You might think that's an old shirt. Now, every time I put that shirt on, I hit the dice game. What you do with that shirt? Oh, I threw it away. It was an old shirt. No, man. Man, I be hitting the dice game in that motherfucking, you know what I'm saying? So I'm one of them niggas that's, you know what I'm saying? You got to give me an opportunity to say no. Don't not make no decision for me. You know what I'm saying? And I just think money is an evil thing, man. You know what I'm saying? And you got to have some boundaries. If you ain't got no boundaries, man, you in trouble. You in trouble. So I want to also talk about Charleston White versus Queens Flip. And more of what y'all have heard me say. You know, of course, y'all know I have an interview with Charleston White. And I spoke to Queens Flip on Instagram Live a couple of times. And he saluted me. I'm sure someone has a video somewhere out there. But what I want to say about that is even when I talk to Flip or when I talk to any one of these people or I talk about this game, because most people that's in position, you got your T.I.'s down here, Jesus with a new podcast. He's fighting the same fights. He's dropping the podcast and getting 4,000 or 5,000 hits in a week. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting 15, so you have to understand, you know, what this is. Now, he did just start, you know. But again, that's a different conversation. But just Charleston White and Queens Flip on how the East Coast don't really reach down to the South and give a nigga no type of leeway or no type of help, you know. And that's why I think some people are critical of Charlamagne, because you come from the South. You got to pull as many South motherfuckers up as you can, because you know them. The East ain't really doing it. So Charleston basically, you know, came up. Queens Flip flew him in, got him a hotel. You know, Charleston said he was at the airport waiting on the Uber, and you know, he knew the New York, so he wanted niggas to come holler at him and introduce themselves and, you know, take it upon themselves to do things like that and, you know, just make your presence known. You know, and they didn't do that. And Flip said he don't got time to do that. And he can't get you no weed. Now, speaking about the weed, if you tied in with the street, man, you can get somebody to bring some weed up there, man. Like, I just thought that was a bit odd. You know, you can't give me no weed. And you tied in any kind of way with the web and the nitties and things like that. Like, you can't give me no weed. Like, damn, bro. None of your people can't, hey, bring them some weed up here. It's damn near legal in New Jersey. You can't give me no weed, home. You know, but I guess that's a South thing. I'm not sure. But even on top of that, there is a line drew in the sand where we feel like that they don't reach out or help no nigga down here. And the ideologies are different. You know, the landscape is different. You know, a lot of things are different. Just our mentalities, the way that we look at life, the way that we embrace life, how we adapt to situations, what we'll take, what we won't take. You know, New York has become a melting pot. So they grow up with different type of individuals and they cool. And you got so much going on up there. So it's a little different. But Charleston kind of felt like, man, y'all didn't fuck with no nigga, and y'all really don't fuck with no nigga, and just kind of was putting it out there about the South and the East. And I don't know what it is, especially in this game. I rarely see South niggas on any of these lives or podcasts or any of this shit, unless you need a nigga. Man, don't you know, that's why I be saying niggas like Young Thug and all them type niggas, they supposed to be coming down here fucking with this up there podcast, because I'm in the South. All these respect, you know, everybody, but I got to call a spade a spade. All these East Coast and these $1 million worth of game and these Joe Budden podcasts and all this, you know, Queens Flips and these shits wouldn't embrace niggas if niggas wasn't selling out arenas. If it was 20 years ago in 1997, they wouldn't give a South nigga interview. You trying to get yourself on the same way in the podcast. You don't see, they not reaching out to Loon doing all this good game he putting down. all this money he done invested, niggas ain't reaching out in no type way. You see what I'm saying? Because if they can avoid using and dealing with a South nigga, it seems that that's what they'll do. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, it ain't too many niggas on this side of the world gonna talk like this, gonna be able to articulate like this. So when you put yourself in that situation and say, I've offered money to these folk to say, show any type information that can help a nigga, and they won't do it. You see what I'm saying? So fuck them. And that's the approach a nigga gotta have. Because if a nigga don't, then what? I'm just gonna keep waiting on y'all to fuck with this shit down. Man, we build our own shit down here. You know what I'm saying? We build our own shit down here. And even with Tip and them done created no avenue for this shit. They just get they check and move on. They don't say, man, I'm putting one or two more podcasts, young niggas on, or young podcasts, or new shows on. They not doing that. Really ain't nobody doing that. So it's going to be my job to get in that game and understand, man, look, man, we got to funnel this shit. We got to funnel this shit, the Underground Railroad this shit. You know what I'm saying? And you see niggas in Tennessee doing that. You see what Yo Gotti doing. You see what I'm saying? All in this little region, Tennessee, Kentucky, this and that. You trying to Memphis. He just trying to make it where we funneling this shit down through here. You know what I'm saying? And I just think, man, we got to have more structure with what we doing. You know, and Charleston and Queensville been going at it. WAC 100 done jumped in it. You know, I'm going to talk to Charleston about that here soon. You know, when I get him back on the show. But 2021, very eventful year for the show, man. Very eventful year for the podcast. It's going to be a hell of a thing going on. So y'all just stay tuned with me and fuck with me. You know what I'm saying? Also, last topic, or maybe last topic, I want to talk about the football player Chad Wheeler. And I'm going to read a press release about what happened with him concerning his girlfriend and the NFL. This is from CNN. Offensive lineman Chad Wheeler faces charges of felony domestic violence and it has been waived by Seattle Seahawks. Now, this is a lot of time after the situation happened. And this is directly from CNN. Now former Seahawks player Chad Wheeler was arrested Friday on suspicion of felony domestic violence after an incident at a residence in a Seattle suburb, police and court records say. The incident began at around 9:44 Pacific time in Kent, Washington, according to Kent Police Department. According to court documents, prosecutors said Wheeler viciously attacked the victim in her bedroom, strangling her at times with both hands. Wheeler is also accused of strangling the victim twice until she lost consciousness. The victim texts friends and family saying to call 911, according to King County Prosecuting Attorney Office and police officers who arrived and forced entry after hearing someone screaming inside. An officer attempted to use a taser to subdue Wheeler with little effect. That mean they hit him with the taser. That white boy kept pushing. Wheeler faces charges of first degree domestic violence, assault, domestic violence, unlawful imprisonment, and resisting arrest. He will enter a plea at his arraignment Friday, February the 9th. Wheeler, a third-year offensive lineman, wrote on Twitter, "Events happened over the weekend that transpired from a manic episode. Appeared in court where his bail was set at $400,000 according to the court documents. The documents say Wheeler's father addressed the court, though minutes of hearings do not indicate what he said." So I don't know how he did it then. But Wheeler was released on bail Tuesday morning. Jail records show he is prohibited from having contact with a woman according to court documents. Wheeler's lawyers told CNN in an email they're looking for into the incident and cannot comment until we have completed our investigation. Wheeler also apologized for the turmoil that I have caused to my family, teammates, fans, and those closest to me, and said he's truly ashamed. It's time for me to walk away from football and get the help I need to never pose a threat to another, Willis said. I want to just talk about the lack of and the very different approach the NFL had with this situation versus with anything concerning an African-American African-American athlete of the National Football League. With us, black African-Americans, their response is prompt, is sometimes unwarranted, it's sometimes without sympathy or empathy, and it's sometimes very aggressive. In this situation, their approach was lackluster, minute, very, very lackadaisical, and a dollar late. I mean, a day short, a day late, and a dollar short. You see what I'm saying? And I just wanted to point that out, man, because it's a space where when you're a black man, you can just clearly see the difference in how things happen. These people don't care nothing about the nigga, man. They just, the black man is he's undervalued, he's underappreciated, and he's definitely overlooked. And he doesn't have the luxury of making mistakes, in which women and children and white men seem to have a chokehold on that. And then for me, I just want people to really, really examine how they handle that. And in the days coming forward, you'll also be able to see even how the pictures that they pick, how they're depicting them. You know, when they come to us, they always get a jail picture or a picture with a gun or a bandana. With them, they just seem to always find an old good yearbook picture, you know, or something like that, to put them in a situation to look non-aggressive as they can, as they fight the court of public opinion along with the legal side of things. But again, this has been another episode of It's Up There Podcast, man. I appreciate y'all for watching. I see y'all next week. Thank you. Follow me, FOGFOLONY. Donate at anchor.com/ It's Up There Podcast. Follow my YouTube, FOGFOTV. Like, subscribe, comment, tell somebody about the game I'm putting down over here. This Up There Podcast. This is your active and attractive host for another one. Go.